I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Listen, today we're talking about the elephant in the room. You might think, well, who could have any objections? This elephant, poor elephant, he's just kind of tired. Okay, he wants a cup of coffee. All right. What could there possibly be that's an elephant in the room when you have a day like today? Well, today we're talking about leadership, and this may surprise you, but having been in the ministry 24 years, it doesn't surprise me at all, actually, that there's still some people in churches because of experiences they've been through, because of the way that some people have abused their leadership opportunities, that really have questions about leadership. I actually saw an article just in the past couple weeks. I mean, one of the largest Christian magazines, one of the articles was titled, Is Leadership Biblical? And of course, you can tell by the tone, the way that's being asked, that guy's conclusion was no. He took his spin on things and said, no, leadership is not all that biblical. I'm not real sure what to say to that, except that that's not very biblical either. I want to say, bless your little heart. I'm sorry for whatever's happened to you, but your bad experience does not supersede the Bible. All of us got to get over that kind of stuff in our lives. There are two simple citations from the Bible that I think it make it very clear that indeed leadership is biblical. The first passage is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, maybe the clearest teaching Jesus ever gave on the subject of leadership. He called his disciples and said, and deacons and elders today, please hear this, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man, Jesus himself, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The second passage I want to quote for you, not nearly as often quoted, but just as powerful on leadership, Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Folks, it's a simple thing, really. Choose good leaders. He says, consider, right? Consider their lives. Consider those leaders you've chosen. And then imitate, copy their faith. If that's not an affirmation of leadership, I don't know what is. So on this great joyful day when we as Streams of Hope are welcoming new deacons and elders officially into their places of service, I wanted to acknowledge that tired elephant in the room and this issue of how leadership is supposed to work. And frankly, folks, it's an important conversation for us because as we have these merger discussions with First Baptist Gaithersburg, and as we started them, some of you are aware, they don't have elders at all. Both the pastor, the senior pastor, David Hill, who many of you have met, and some of their members have come out of churches where all the experience with elders were not good. They had churches with ruling elders who were very authoritarian, who interrupted ministry in order to protect membership privileges. Those kinds of histories are bad things. I certainly understand. So as we made that presentation to you and to them a couple of weeks ago, one of the important things we said was, these are the kinds of elders we're talking about, the character that they need to have and the role they need to play as shepherds of the flock. And I just want to commend them for being willing to take on that topic, because our church family, you may have come in more recently and may not remember, but we spent 2 years getting used to the idea of elders. We had a study committee for a year, and then we looked at their proposals for a year. And these guys have had to deal with it. Their MET committees had, 8-9 months, and their church family, many of them, only had a few weeks to really think about it. So be aware of that. Don't get too judgmental about, well, they're just still trying to decide. Well, that's because it's new to them. So give some room for that. We need to rejoice in those whom God has provided for us. And I give their chairman, Bob Bushman, Pastor David Hill, great credit for working through those issues and leading the church to the proposal that you have all seen in our new church structure that would include elders. So as I visit with our friend here, and let me just try to help our poor elephant. See if I can figure this out a little bit back here. See if I can get him to lay back the other way for us so you can all see him nice. Because Stacy did such a beautiful job of building this guy that I want him to stand up for us. Now, please don't fall over on me. So as I'm here by my friend the elephant, I want us to talk about what is it that we actually need to get clear. Why is it an elephant in the room? An elephant in the room, of course, is an obvious truth, but nobody's talking about it. So in the kitchen table, which we said symbolizes intimacy and decision-making and leadership for the family, planning for the future, dealing with the struggles, it's a perfect thing for us to talk about this elephant in the room business and how we need to affirm the leadership that God has given to us. And I wanted to do this for you real quick. So you got your timer? I think I can do this in less than 1 minute each. Okay, that'll get us through. You still have 10 minutes before lunchtime. 7 biblical models. When somebody says to me, I'm not so sure about this leadership thing, you guys have a really strong staff. You know, Pastor Eddie seems to give a lot of decisions. The elders, how much power and authority do they have? Listen, forget all those kinds of concerns. Focus on what the Bible says. And let's look at what the Bible sets up as models. Because it doesn't matter if you're a deacon, elder, or a new member of the church. These are truths about Christian leadership that all of us should be growing into. Let's get the 7 pictures real quick. What would be the message from Paul? It would be believe in something bigger than yourself. Listen to what is said in Acts 13:47. I have appointed you, this is what God says, I've appointed you as a light for the Gentiles to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You know whose job that is today? Ours, the church. That's us. Paul was nothing. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Remember, he said, all that stuff that I used to brag on, that's all garbage. It's trash. But I believe in something bigger than myself. That's Paul's message. And what's he believing in? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message, 1 Corinthians 2:2. So whatever challenges you may think your life has, whatever challenges this merger may bring for us as a family, God is bigger. And he can lead us into his promised land. How about Nehemiah? Let's talk about him for just a second. And the message from Nehemiah is simply this. Build on what God has given you. It's interesting. You may remember we get introduced to Nehemiah. He is a cupbearer to the king. And you might say, well, that's pretty fancy. He was a cupbearer. He was a slave to a pagan king. He could have thought, I'm not in a position to do anything, but instead of leaning on his ancestry and saying, well, I'm a Jew, I need to do this, he went to the king and said, King, here's something I'd like to put before you. I want to be faithful. I look back to Jerusalem, here's what's going on. Nehemiah, as a biblical character, his life before we run into him is fairly obscure. He's not known to us. We don't see him in a little basket on the river like Moses and follow his whole life journey. I mean, he comes out of nowhere, does his thing. He takes opportunity that God gives to him. Every leader, every church member, every Christian has been given gifts by God. Some are more visible than others. It matters not. God wants us to serve, build on what God has given you. He wasn't a David. He wasn't a Moses. But he was every bit the Nehemiah God wanted him to be. Be you as God has given you. Build on that. Joshua, what's Joshua got to say to us? I think the message of leadership from Joshua is bring the best people to the table. You remember Joshua had been one of these guys who was in the nation of Israel. And in Joshua 5:15, here's what it says. The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove the sandals from your feet. For the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And you might recognize that holy ground thing. Where did we hear that before? That was Moses. Oh, and who was it that brought Joshua along as a young leader? Moses. And so you have this thing of Moses brought good people to the table, and Joshua is a symbol of that. He was a man of faith, a man of courage. He wasn't perfect. He was a learner. He was one of the spies that was sent into the land, but Moses kept him in that leadership circle. I'm sure there were people who envied Joshua. Probably other people said, I'm just as old as Joshua. I'm just as wise as Joshua. I'm just as good as those elders up there. I don't know what they were saying. Whining about something. Bring your best people to the table, equip them, and then set them free to lead. Amen? That's the message from Joshua. Number four, Barnabas, what's the message? I love this one. Bridge the gap. Bridge the gap of differing opinions. You remember Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. But the cool thing is we look at his life, he bridges the cultural diversity of his day. He was a man who bridged the gap between the Greeks and the Jews. He was born a Cypriot. He was born in Cyprus, and he was raised as a Levite. He lived in the Hellenistic, that's the Greek world, right? And he was a part now of the Jerusalem church. This guy is a bridge builder. Remember when John Mark was getting tossed aside by Paul because he had dropped the ball? Barnabas said, let me take him, bring him back. He bridged the gap. Bridge the gap of different opinions and capabilities. Be the person. He was a generous man. He was a gracious man. He helped be a solution against greed, against isolation. You may remember he sold his land. He gave all the money to the church. It didn't work out so well later for some other people who didn't do that. But Ananias and Sapphira, you remember they lied about it. But Barnabas was one who, he gave what he had. He was there to serve. He helped bring people together. And I'll just say this, deacons, elders, and church members again. And as we move forward in the merger, this is the job of every church member, in my opinion. When you are a leader of any level, one of the greatest compliments that can be paid is that you helped bring people together to get over their polarizing opinions, to help them heal their attitudes. Jesus has given us, according to Paul, in 2 Corinthians 8, I think it is, the ministry of reconciliation. Is that chapter 5, Larry, or 8? You remember? Off the top of the head. It's one of those chapters. I'm making that up off the top, not making it up, but I'm quoting it off the top of my head. Bringing people together, the ministry of reconciliation. Moses. What's the message from Moses? Okay, now be careful how we take this one. But the message from Moses is to blind your eyes to petty criticism. See, Moses was a leader of a great people. But if you remember reading those stories, you know, they had that great word from the Old Testament, right? Murmur. You know, it's a word that sounds like what it means. Murmur. You can hear the people mumbling in the background. That's exactly what it means. People, and he had a tough time with that. You remember he got so upset one time he hit the rock, all kinds of stuff. He disobeyed God because his patience was worn out with the people. And I'll just give you all a testimony. It is true that petty criticism wears on the honest, helpful, constructive criticism is fine. But petty criticism, the wise leader has to turn it off. So sometimes if you think I'm not listening to you, sometimes I need to be corrected. And sometimes you need to ask yourself, why is he not listening to what I'm saying? And you need to think about what you're saying just a little bit. So it goes both ways. Amen? Okay, all right, good. All right. Let's go to Elijah. The message from Elijah, bind the ties of love and courage. You know that song we used to sing always at the end of the service, blessed be the ties that bind. What are the ties that bind us? Love and courage. Elijah had both. It's what we said last week about Jesus. He grew up in grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. Speak the truth in love, but do it with love. And that's part of what Elijah taught. You remember he was in that battle with the prophets of Baal, and he had the truth part kind of edgy. You remember they were calling out for their God to send down the fire, and he said, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you need to yell a little louder so you can wake up your God, because your God is not so great. That was his sarcasm, but that was him speaking truth. But there's also that time to show the love and the courage part. We don't want to shy away from speaking the truth to each other. If you're a wimpy leader, you lose the respect of people. So there are a lot of things you can say about me over 24 years. I'd like to think that being wimpy is not one of them. Okay, number seven, Peter. I'm going to just close with this guy. Here's what I love about Peter. His name means rock. And the other way we hear about a rock in the New Testament is we say, do not be a stumbling block, which is a rock. And you know what Peter was? He was both. There were times he was a rock, and there was times he was a stumbling block. Oh, you might say, Pastor, that's harsh. Well, I don't know. Jesus said, looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. That was harsh. That was speaking the truth in love. And here's what I want to say. You know what? We learn from Peter, bounce back after you're knocked down. He says to Peter, you're the rock. And then he says, you're the devil's helper. And Peter went through some struggles, but Peter bounced back. And we remember the stories of Peter being the faithful apostle. Deacons, you know, one week they love your coffee. Where's Wayne? One week they love your coffee, and one week they're whining about something. You go, oh, where's my favorite creamer? You're out. Oh, no Splenda this week. I have to use sugar. Oh, my, isn't your life so hard? I mean, you know, or, oh, I'm so glad you came over to fix my yard. You know, I really didn't like the way this part over here ended up. Can you do that for me? I mean, you know, these are things you have to deal with when you're a leader. Bounce back when you're knocked down. Now, I'm going to wrap up with this. There are seven models of biblical leadership. I'm not even saying those are the only seven. I'm just saying there's seven right there. Is leadership biblical? For goodness sakes, let us all say yes. It is the kind of leadership that's important. So let me give you the bottom line. The elephant in the room, leaders, if you want to deal with the elephant in the room about leadership, the reason people shy away from leaders is that they forget the three R's. Now, when we talk about schooling, we'd say that the three R's were reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? All right, so here are the big three bottom line for leaders. First R, relationships. Relationships. Second R, relationships. And here's the third and final test of leadership. The third R is relationships. It's about people, people, people. So understand, while we set these four individuals into offices, they are here to serve the church, which is not the building. It's not the 501c3 organization. It is the people of God. Leaders, never forget, we are here to be and to lead the people of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a good day in your house. Better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere, but today was really, really good. Thank you, God, for your generosity, for your power, for your Spirit poured out. Help us to be mindful, grateful, humble, servant-minded people. May we leave here today with a commitment to show the same kinds of character, to learn the leadership lessons from your Scripture, to think about the lives and the examples of those four that we set apart today, and may we follow them and imitate them as they follow you, O God. And may we all grow closer to that model of Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Okay.